Numbers chapter 23. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth, in Jesus' name. Amen. Numbers chapter 23, verse 1. And Balaam said to Balak, build me here 7 altars, and prepare me here 7 oxen and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken. And Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. And Balaam said to Balak, stand by your burned offering, and I will go. Perhaps the Lord will come to meet me, and whatsoever he shows me, I will tell you. And he went to a high place. Now, look who's calling the shots here. I'll tell you this, Balak the king is desperate. Because he's letting Balaam bark out orders, and the king is obeying. Now, that's a very unusual thing. And so they offer these sacrifices, which have no scriptural basis at all. They're simply a part of his pagan ritual. 4. And God met Balaam, and he said to him, I have prepared 7 altars, and I have offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, return to Balak, and thus you shall speak. And he returned to him, and lo, he stood by his burned sacrifice, he and all the princes of Moab. So it seems as if Balaam was trying to do the impossible here. He was trying to please God, but he was still serving money. He wants the gold from Balak that he would receive for cursing Israel. But he tries to impress God with these animal sacrifices, and God's just not impressed. Jesus said you can't serve God and mammon, or money. And it might shock some to see that God is actually going to use Balaam. Sometimes God does use unclean vessels. But the problem with unclean vessels is that if they don't repent and make Jesus their Lord and Savior, they still go to hell. They may be used by God, but they still go to hell. 7. And he took up his parable and said, Balak, the king of Moab, has brought me from Aram, out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord has not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. And Balak said to Balaam, what have you done to me? I took you to curse my enemies, and behold, you have blessed them altogether. And he answered and said, must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord has put in my mouth? Not quite the curse Balak hired Balaam to pronounce, is it? And the gist of Balaam's first oracle is this. Israel is so blessed by God that to be identified with them, either in life or death, is a good thing. And of course, Balak gets angry. He didn't think he got his money's worth. 13. And Balak said to him, come, I pray you, with me to another place, from where you may see them. You shall see but the utmost part of them, and shall not see them out. See them all, and curse me them from there. And he brought him into the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, and built 7 altars, and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. So there they go again. And he said to Balak, stand here by your burnt offering while I meet the Lord yonder. And the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, go again to Balak and say thus. And when he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offering, and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said to him, What has the Lord spoken? Balak tried plan B, which included 14 more animal sacrifices. For Balaam and Balak, they were simply 14 more magical charms. That's all they were. And plan B also included taking Balaam to a place where a portion of Israel could be seen. See, the pagan world believed that there was power in numbers. In other words, Balak thought, well, if a curse was uttered in the sight of the Israelites, then maybe God wouldn't be so prone to bless them. Maybe they would actually be cursed. 18. And he took up his parable and said, here's the message. Rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken to me, you son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Balak wouldn't be interested in this, but you should be. You can anchor your life on this verse. Our security as believers stems from the fact that God doesn't change his mind and he doesn't lie. One of the attributes of God is that he is immutable. He never changes. And you never see him deny himself. He's perfect in every conceivable way, and he cannot be moved from that position. And as a result, we can be assured that his words are true and infinitely honest and will never fade away. And that's why I love teaching the Word of God, because it's the only thing on earth that's like that. There's never an integrity problem with God or his Word. Never shall be either. So what does that mean in regards to Balak and Balaam? Well, look at verse 20. Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Simply put, Balaam says, God has ordered me to bless Israel. He has blessed them, and I can't reverse it. I can't revoke it, because he doesn't change, you see? 21. He has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither has he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. And as we've seen through the desert, traveling with the Israelites, we've seen that Israel was far from being perfect, in practice anyway. And yet, as a nation, and as the seed of Abraham, they stood before God perfect. And God may have to correct them from time to time, but they are a blessed people because God has spoken it. Other nations may attack them, but since God is their king, they're unbeatable. That's the message to Balak. 22. God brought them out of Egypt. He has, as it were, the strength of a unicorn or a wild bull. The wild bull was a symbol of power. And so Balak's waiting for a curse, but Balaam says the omnipotent God is in the process of bringing Israel out of Egypt and into the promised land. And until he gets them there, God is their strength. And anyone who wants to hurt Israel has to first deal with God. And good luck with that. 23. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what has God wrought? Balaam planned to use his magic tricks to curse Israel, but he failed. He knew the Lord was a shield around them. And Balaam says, when the last chapter is written, it's not going to say that a magician got the best of Israel. It's going to describe all the good things that the Lord has done for Israel. And so we see here that Balaam is a puppet. He really is. He is a puppet in God's circus. Balaam is a performer, and God is feeding him his lines. 24. Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion and lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey and drink the blood of the slain? Far from being cursed, Israel will triumph. Instead of being stopped by her enemies, Israel will devour them to the last drop of blood. 25. And Balak said to Balaam, neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all. But Balaam answered and said to him, to Balak, told not I you, saying, all that the Lord speaks, that must I do? And so Balak says, Balaam, just shut up. Shut your mouth. Quit trying to curse them, or they'll all end up multimillionaires. But Balaam is far from being through. Verse 27. And Balak said to Balaam, come, I pray you, I will bring you to another place. He just doesn't quit, does he? He won't take no for an answer either. Perhaps it will please God that you may curse me from, or curse me them from there. Well, they're really trying to manipulate God. They just don't get it. 28. And Balak brought Balaam to the top of Peor that looks toward Jeshimon. And Balaam said to Balak, build me here 7 altars and prepare me here 7 bullocks and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had said and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. Well, plans A and B failed. So Balak figured it was time for a plan C. Peor was a worship center in Moab. It was a worship center for the worship of Baal. Baal, pagan god. And so it may be that Balak wanted Balaam to petition that demonic god, Baal, to curse the Jews. He's going to try that tactic now.